Welcome to It's a Crazy World, where musicians discuss the unique lifestyles of today's artists. If you want to know how to get through the craziness of the world of music as you reach for your dreams, you won't want to miss this episode of It's a Crazy World with Cynthia McIntosh.
Welcome to It's a Crazy World on Indie 104. My name is Cynthia McIntosh, success coach to today's performing artists. As a success coach, I'm always excited to find ways of helping artists create and achieve their dreams. Have you ever wished that you could just walk up to Rod Stewart's artist development consultant and say, "Hey, Tom, can you please listen to my song and tell me what I can do to get it out there?" And then have him respond, "Sure, have a seat." Or wouldn't you just love to be able to go up to Tim McGraw's A&R expert and say, "Hey, John, would you mind listening to the song for me and giving me a written critique on what I need to do to improve it?" And then have them say, "Sure, love to. Hand it on over." Sounds pretty unrealistic, doesn't it? But wouldn't that be ever so exciting? In today's world, there are more opportunities than ever before, which is wonderful. But the competition is stronger than ever before also. While the internet has afforded us many new ways to get our music out in the public, it has also created a much stronger competition. While technology has changed the whole industry over the past decade and made it possible for artists to do things that was not possible 10 years ago, it also creates a demand for experience and professionalism for artists that wasn't necessary before. A decade ago, every artist's dream was to get signed by a record label. That was, for the most part, the only way to get a professional recording. The label would handle creating an image for you, recording for you, marketing you, distributing your music, and just managing your success. But today, there are far fewer large record labels, and so artists need to access other options. The good news is that there are other good options out there. Today, my guest is going to share with you how you can reach the professional experts you never thought you could, and how you can get them to provide their expertise, and how you can do it without mortgaging your home. Stay tuned, and we will be back with you and help you reach for the stars right after this.
See your picture on the screen. Takes me back to that summer when we was just 17. Lord knows I gotta keep my faith. Looking up to that big night sky to pray. Yeah. Lord knows I got no more tears to cry for you. It hurts me just as much as it doesn't for you. 'Cause even if I tried, Lord knows I got no more tears to cry for you. Just too damn hard to see you with a man who's bound to break your heart. Baby, I know it's not my time, to be sitting here waiting, wishing for you. I got no more tears to cry for you. It hurts me just as much as it doesn't for you. 'Cause even if I tried, Lord knows I got no more tears to cry for you. Oh, tears to cry over you. It hurts me just as much as it doesn't for you. Cause even if I try, no one knows I got no more tears to cry for you.
We're back with more It's a Crazy World with Cynthia McIntosh.
Welcome, everyone, to the It's a Crazy World show today. Today we are talking to Brian Giacoma of New York. Brian has a strong passion for the entertainment industry, and he has a business that he started called Talent Army Music, and they are an affordable way to support new performing artists. He has founded Talent Music, and I would like to ask you, how did you get started in this adventure?
Well, when I was 14 years old and walking through my undeveloped at the time neighborhood of Tribeca, New York, which is now ironically a thriving art and wealthy investor community, but when I was there, it was just a bunch of artists. And I'm, you know, so Deborah Harry lived there, Wendy Williams of the Plasmatics, the Ramones would hang out there. So all these cool artists that I was following as a young kid were hanging out and just giving us high fives in the elevator. And we would, you know, hear all this great music at local bars, and hearing acts like the Beastie Boys emerge before anyone even knew who they were got us, my friends and I, into music. And we all sort of went off in different directions after college. And I remember walking through Tribeca at 14 and seeing a video production of the Fat Boys cover of James Brown's Sex Machine. And they were filming, and there was no one even there. It was like a deserted neighborhood with warehouses. And I walked over and I said, how do I work on this video with you? And they laughed and they said, you don't. And I noticed that the platform where they were filming was filled with like broken glass and dirt. And I ran home and I stole my mom's broom. And I literally ran back to the set and I started to sweep the set of this video. And the guy came over and goes, what are you doing? And I said, well, I want to work here. I work here for free. And everyone started laughing. And the director said, look, give him a shot. And that director, Zbigniew Rybczynski, became sort of like my mentor. And I was like his protege, I guess you can say. And I worked for him and Stuart Weiss, the attorney that owned the company. And that company became Zbig Vision. It was actually the first high-definition video studio in the entire United States. And so that sort of propelled me into working in the industry. But it really was just a break that I made for myself. I mean, I just figured, what's the worst they can say? Get out of here? And I would just sort of hang out there on the other side of the barrier anyway.
Wow. So, that's amazing. Yeah. So you weren't actually – you like the back side of the business, I guess. You're more in the business aspects versus being a performer.
Well, the funny thing was, you know, unlike most, you know, people who love music and have a passion, I'll admit I have absolutely no artistic talent whatsoever. I tried to play guitar, couldn't do it. I have absolutely no singing voice. I can't write lyrics. But I've been around music so long. I mean, if you think about, you know, like a jambalaya dish at a restaurant. Think about this, right? It makes it so great. You've got sausage, seafood, spices, and all types of, you know, ingredients, right? And so my mother and father grew up in the 50s listening to rock and roll. So like Elvis, Little Richard, Chuck Berry, you know, these guys sort of helped me get a passion for upbeat rock and roll. And then this completely unknown genre of hip hop started. And as a white kid, hanging out and, you know, and playing ball with most of my friends that were from the Caribbean or from, you know, African American guys and Chinese kids and Italian kids, we were all mixed together. And so I sort of grew up on the you know, the innocent early version of hip hop, which was just dancing and having fun, you know, as opposed
right.
to, you know, what it's sort of morphed into now in a way. But so that was sort of like a very harmless type of music. Like I don't remember anybody's parents saying, oh, no, 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 you can't listen to hip hop. It was like just, you know, roller skating music back in the day, you know, Run DMC, the Sugar Hill Gang, that kind of stuff was innocent.
Yeah.
So you have like this fusion of that. And then I had a friend of mine that was friends with Paul Stanley, and Kiss was emerging. So you had this rock
wow.
and roll mixed with hard rock, mixed with, you know, hip hop and R&B, all formed together. And there was just so much creativity happening in New York City at that time that you just couldn't help but at the least be a fan of all this emerging music. And I remember when, you know, turntables were introduced with mixers, I said, you know, like a friend of mine was one of the first people to have, you know, DJ equipment. So we used to mess around with vinyl and play with that kind of stuff. And, you know, and I was able to become a DJ like by the age of like 18. I had a small following in Manhattan. And when I went off to college, I was able to pay for my college by DJing at Adelphi. And WBAU is the station out in Adelphi, and you know they were very receptive to anybody who even wanted a radio show. Like, sure, can you work at 2 a.m.? Sure. I could have my friend run down to the end of the dorm and call from the one payphone that was there. You know, so I smile when I tell these stories because they may appear to be boring to other people, but I think there's probably some people out there that can relate to what I'm saying. You know, it's. No one's going to knock on your door and say, hey, you know, do you want to make it in this industry? Here, come on and work for me. You sort of have to create your own opportunities.
Absolutely. And yeah, and I'm noticing as I'm listening to your story that that's very fundamental to you is, you know, you can't wait for the doors to open. You can't wait to be discovered. You create that. You go out there and do what you need to do to put it out there.
Right. And that's one of the things that impressed me about you is that, you know, most, if you asked 100 artists, are you ready for a record deal or a song placement? I would say 99% are going to say, yeah, come on, I'm ready. I'm great.
Right.
When the truth is, maybe less than 1% are actually ready. You know, I was talking to a friend of mine who discovered Bruno Mars, and when he was signed, the story sort of goes that, like, Bruno came in looking and with the fashion sense that you sort of see now, like very artistic style. He played guitar, he wrote his own music, he wrote his own lyrics. I mean, he had everything that the record labels want. You see, because you know, and maybe the listeners don't realize that there is no such thing any longer of artist development. See, when you take someone like Britney Spears, who at the time, and some would argue still, is a very attractive young lady, right? So they took her with, at the time, a mediocre voice, and they had, you know, singing lessons for her, they had dance lessons, they had choreography. In fact, I spoke yesterday to her choreographer, who's a friend of mine, Randy C. Connor, and Randy basically got her that whole dance routine for Oops, I Did It Again, which sort of put her on the map. So
right.
Anyway, there was a whole, literally, hallway with room after room of developing the artist, where one would be the choreographer, one would be the stylist, one would be the makeup person, and they would invest in you like a stock. And that doesn't happen anymore. It's almost
right.
unheard of.
Right.
You have to come in and you have to be your own champion. So if you're missing something, you know, people like you that could sort of, you know, sometimes, as you know, it's simply just a motivation, or it's one little tweak of a song, which is sort of what we do. We do more of the application of the music itself, where you're sort of, you know, what's going on behind the scenes in their head and with their
right.
life that's preventing them right. from getting ahead. So,
yeah,
I think
we kind of helped them to create their future, to figure out what it is that they want to create, and then from there send them to you where you put the right professionals in place to create those dreams.
Absolutely. And we even have a disclaimer that says, look, if you're not ready to get real serious feedback from our site, you know, you're probably not ready to send us the song, because, you know, my experts are going to break it down on multiple levels. You know, the reviews that we put on Talent Army and talentarmymusic.com are basically very detailed. It's not just, hey, I like your song.
Right.
Although if the guy's really impressed, you'll get, hey, you're amazing, call me, and the rest could be history, as they say. But most of these reviews are very detailed, constructive criticism as opposed to destructive. I mean, the last thing we want to do is deter any artist from reaching their dream, you know, because
absolutely,
there are talented people out there who are just really, really raw but need to be developed.
So correct.
That's what you and I are both, I guess, here for. We're here to support aspiring talent.
Right. And what kind of mentors or coaches do you have?
You know, when I started the site, and I'll tell you a real quick backstory. I had done music showcases, which anyone will tell you is never going to make you a wealthy person. But I did it as a sort of as a side job and a hobby. You know, I had retired from DJing because at the time I was taking care of my son and my daughter and I was working full time, and I didn't want to be out at clubs till 4 a.m. I had hit a certain age where I was starting to get called sir instead of, you know, instead of hearing the line that everybody likes to hear, which is, man, you're awesome, and, you know, where can I follow you next? It was sort of just like, hey, do you happen to know this song? When of course I knew it, you know, but like, I was becoming at the age where I could be the parent of a lot of these kids in the club.
Right.
And I felt a little awkward doing that, you know? So it was time for me to give it off to my protege, who I had trained and who had become, in his own right, a very popular DJ in the Queens, New York, and Long Island areas of New York. And so anyway, I sort of gave him the reins, and you know, he's still DJing to this day. But I was ready to move on. And the one thing I noticed at every music showcase I did, whether it was a mashup of hip-hop and R&B, hip-hop and hard rock, or whether it was a jazz showcase or, you know, any type of genre I did, even a Caribbean show I did, every single show, the one constant that would cross all genres and ages was everybody wanted a record deal and or placement. And for some reason, people would just give me, at the time, CDs.
Right.
And I would live like Santa Claus with a giant bag filled with CDs. And I'd listen to 4 or 5 randomly on the way home, you know, driving in my car. I'd be listening in and out to the first or couple of songs. And I realized that that was the one constant. So I said, well, look, I can only help New Yorkers, and it's not really fair. So I, you know, aside people from Jersey and Connecticut, there's a whole world literally out of great music out there. And this is probably 10 years ago, so social media hadn't really developed yet. But the internet was a baby. And so I said, look, I'm going to put a demo shopping site online where I can help these people. And I remember even as far back as like the early 90s when I started to send demos to my connections at the record labels, they would say to me, well, what do you mean you're sending me a music file? And I'm like, they mean a CD? I'm like, no, it'll take about, at the time, maybe 20 minutes to download. Imagine that. Right now it's 20 seconds. We're tapping our fingers like it's taking too long, you know. Anyway, and it was so successful that I jokingly say we crashed at 179 submissions because servers didn't get more than a dozen hits in a day back
wow.
in the early 90s. So at 179 submissions in one, maybe 2 hour period, the server crashed. And I just remember thinking, is that a good thing? And we were panicking, not knowing what to do. But now if you crash somebody's server with too much traffic, it's a great thing, in
right.
essence,
right.
if you can get back online. So we relaunched, and I'm glad to say, you know, about a year ago, and we've, you know, done really well. I mean, I've added about 30 experts, and each of these experts are across the board, whether they be a platinum producer in hip-hop or a hard rock guitarist that's recorded with the Stones, the Jackson 5, the you know, Aerosmith. I mean, we have a bunch of really impressive experts. And I tell them to just put the meat and potatoes on their bio. Let an artist know either by keyword search or by reading the whole bio if it's a good fit. You know, I always joke and say, like, a hard rock drummer would not want to send his music to, like, a classical music label. It just
right.
It's not going to be a good fit, you know. So for lack of a better analogy, it's like a really high-end dating site for aspiring talent. So you can send You can put exactly what you're looking for in the music world, and you will match you up directly with the top expert who could at the least give you a constructive feedback on your music.
That's funny. Yeah, I actually love talking to you because you could just feel the passion that you have for the industry when you listen to you talk. It's fun.
Well, thank you. I mean, like I said, it's really rewarding for me to, you know, it almost sounds like a made-up story, but the first artist that we ever signed, in fact, it was one of my last showcases probably about 2 years ago, and we were in a venue in New York City. It was the old Latin Quarter, a very famous landmark nightclub, and it wasn't at all like a Latin dance show. This particular night, we just did a mix, a potpourri of all types of music. I had 10 acts, and I had singer-songwriters, and I had a young lady named Jessica Lynn, who has gone on to do some country fame at this point. Jessica Lynn Music, I believe it is. And my ex-partner for this particular showcase, John Landers, who he and I had gotten this showcase called the Big Apple Indie Music Series. And this young man comes up, good-looking young guy in his early 20s with a guitar, black hair, blue eyes. And I remember the two girls that were standing next to me were like, whoa. And I said, all right, he's at ease. And he was underage, he was 20, and the owners of this particular venue would not let him in. So what I did is I grabbed one of my music executive friends and I said, listen, do me a favor, you work with R&B acts, let's sit down with this kid, literally in the rain across the street. So he's standing out there soaking wet without an umbrella in a leather country vest and boots, like he was so out of place with his guitar, like the urban cowboy. And we literally went across the street to a pizzeria, and I bought this executive a slice of pizza, and the kid looked hungry, and we like bought him a meatball hero or something. And we're sitting there, and he's playing his music. Now, remember, we had listened to music all night, and these were handpicked acts. They were all pretty good. And I remember Tom Bradley from TC Music in New York just looking at me going, you know, I haven't really heard anything I like. And then I put the first song on from this kid, and the guitar just wailed. I thought I was listening to Stevie Ray Vaughan.
Wow.
Who, if you're sitting out there and you don't know who that is, do yourself a favor. Go to YouTube and just put in Stevie Ray Vaughan, V-A-U-G-H-N, and just prepare to be amazed by his guitar. So this guy blew us away, and Tom looked at me and goes, could you give me a second? Took me away from the table and goes, how is this kid not signed? And I go, I don't know. I just found him here in the rain. And the guy's name is Jason D'Amico. He is absolutely unbelievable. And you know, well, you should check out his music, Jason D'Amico, on as TC Music, or go to TC Music and look for their acts. But I mean, he's on tour right now. He is absolutely amazing. And you know, perhaps later on in the show we'll play one of his songs. So when I hear something like that, and I could be part of a story like that and get a letter from his parents saying, oh my God, I mean, you've changed our lives, and you know, you and Tom have done this incredible thing for him. So, I mean, that's rewarding enough. You know, people often ask, what do we get out of this? And I say, you know, I can't speak for other sites, but Talent Army Music does not ask for anything in return. We don't want points on your record. We don't want to manage your career. We simply want the right to say that we helped to launch the career of this particular artist, and we ask that in the future that artist, you know, pays it forward and gives another aspiring act, maybe an opening act at one of his or her shows. That, to us, is pretty rewarding.
We are going to listen to some of Jason D'Amico's music right now, the young man that you were just telling us about. So everyone enjoy the music, stay tuned, and we'll be right back with you right after this.
It's a Crazy World with Cynthia McIntosh. We'll be right back after this.
Won't you hold me there close?
With more It's a Crazy World with Cynthia McIntosh.
Welcome back to the show. Today we're talking to Brian Giacoma from New York, the founder of Talent Army Music. Thanks again for being on the show. And one of the things I want to ask you is to tell us, what part of your business do you actually find most fulfilling? You are very passionate about what you do, and it's fun to listen to you talk. So tell us, what do you think is the most fulfilling part of what you do?
Well, for me, it would definitely, undoubtedly be finding someone. It's almost, the analogy I use is like finding a nugget of gold or a diamond. I mean, it's so incredibly difficult to find somebody that's untapped and just amazing and see them blossom into a great act. But when that happens, even if it's a song placement, like I remind people of the jingle on ESPN, didn't it? Think about how simple that is.
Right.
The person who wrote that song is worth hundreds of millions of dollars.
Wow.
Because ESPN had to pay a royalty on every single time they played that across their platform of 10 or 12 different stations around the world. So I think inevitably and eventually they just paid them a flat fee after paying for 20 years. But so there's a lot of money to be made, and it's, you know, in the artist side and in the industry, but you know, no one really goes into this industry thinking that they're going to be a multi-million dollar rock star. There are so many different levels, all of which are rewarding to artists. There are songwriters, there are producers, there are remixers, there are DJs. I mean, look at someone like Diane Warren, who writes songs. She doesn't sing them, but she's written so many hits, and a lot of people don't even know who she is. She's, you know, behind, you know, dozens of number one hits, top 40 hits. So when I can find somebody that simply just needs a connection and uses our platform to, you know, I not to pick on Iowa, but if you're a musician from Iowa, the odds of meeting a big time player from New York and LA, which is where most of us are, you're not really going to get that to them.
That's
but
true.
Even with the internet, like people say to me, oh, well, the internet makes it easier. No, I would argue it makes it a lot harder, because now instead of an executive, like I get 1,000 a month in terms of songs, and I'm no longer even at a major label. I'm my own boss at this point. But my friends who are at the big labels, I mean, they get tens of thousands of emails and hits and friend requests, and they don't take any of them.
Right.
So, you know, we're sort of a conduit to get music directly to the labels. And, you know, like I said before, we don't ask for anything in return. I just like to be able to know that if someone gets a song placement and I get like a emoji of a thumb up, a thumbs up, and then they go, thank you so much. I mean, that wouldn't seem like a like anything essential to anybody's life, but that to me is like sort of like a millennial's big, you know, fully written letter, like when we were kids. If I get like a little thank you from a millennial, that's a pretty big accomplishment that I've helped them, you know, get paid gigs, or now they're on tour somewhere, and you know, and that's sort of rewarding. And I could build a nice little dossier resume of artists, and we're starting, you know, only launched about a year ago. And if you go to our success page, there's already offers on the table. There's already been offers signed for artists. And, you know, that's sort of rewarding to see that. I recently heard from the mother of a young man who I guess is now just turning 21, that at the time, I want to say was 20, and we got him a record deal. And she thanked me before he did. She was like, thank you so much. I can't believe you've done this for my son. And he's paying for college now. And I mean, you know, that kind of stuff is pretty cool to be able to say that, you know. So
I can imagine. Yeah. And you bring up a good point about the internet. The internet, in some ways, opens up a lot of opportunities, but you still need to know what you're doing in order to make that work. I know there are a lot of opportunities now for example, remote session work. And if you're in Iowa, you can still work because you can do it online. However, you need to know the right people, and you need to be able to access the right people to get good gigs doing even online session work.
Correct. That's a great point. You know, it does create opportunities for artists, which is great. But, you know, instead of competing with the 20 people that had the initiative to be able to reach me somehow, I'm not even sure how they would, you know, a couple of years ago, I get CDs sent to a P.O. box I had that I didn't even advertise. And I'm like, well, that was pretty, you know, creative of that person to find me. And I can imagine that, you know, the executives and record labels, like I said, they would get bags and bags of CDs. You know, now you've got literally millions of hits coming into these guys. And it's a little bit frustrating for my friends that are still at labels. I mean, they just hit dump every day and just dump thousands of emails.
Right.
But at the same time, if you do know the right person and the right people, you can simply connect. Like our example from the Midwest, from Iowa, you can now get a CD to New York or LA, or LA, I should say, a CD from either to New York or to LA with a click of a button. And so,
right.
You know, but that button has to be, you know, that email has to be sent through a platform like mine or through an expert like yourself, a life coach, because you and I have those connections that at our age, maybe a 19 or 20-year-old hasn't yet cultivated.
Correct.
So,
yeah, and you know, you do bring up a point that it's kind of ironic that you'd bring it up, because I know 15 years ago, and this industry has changed a lot since then, but 15 years ago, I used to receive a lot of, well, actually back then, believe it or not, we did not have the internet yet, really. So you'd get cassettes, you'd get tapes, all kinds of funny stuff. But I would do seminars to teach musicians how to do that in a professional manner, because a lot of times you'd get something, it would just have something scribbled on it, and 9 times out of 10 you would just look at those and toss them. But then you would get one that was really professionally done with nice pictures, your profile pictures and information and a bio, and you would take your time on those. But now it's even more important to do it. It's amazing when you go on LinkedIn, for example, and you'll just see all these people hitting you to say, listen to my song, listen to my song. You know how many of those you're really going to listen to? When you get hundreds of those a day, you're just going to blow them off. But then on occasion, you'll get somebody who'll say, can you please check out my EPK? And you go on there, and it's really well done. Those people are going to get a chance. But you have to have somebody that knows what they're doing to put that together for you.
And, you know, I remember when I got my first flash drive, I didn't care what was on it. I put it in immediately. I said, oh, my God, this young presumably a young person or a young band, sent me a flash drive, and it was taped neatly to a letter with an arrow, like, so I couldn't miss it because it was so small. And it said, you know, we respect what you've accomplished in this industry. Congratulations. And please, we beg you, please just put in this flash drive. Listen to song number one. And I remember putting it in and being very impressed, and actually reached out to that person. And they were actually very surprised to hear from me. It was like they didn't answer the phone with the name of the group or anything. They were just like, hello. And I said who I was, and they're like, who is this? And I said it again. They went, oh, wait, shut up, everyone, shut up. And they were like sitting around their house. I didn't hear any instruments going. But I, you know, I told them what I thought my advice would be to them, and that I really liked this one particular song. And anyway, so I always, you know, try to put that thing, you know, that first well done, or that first creator of some good material or some incentive, that they have reached out to me with something different right. looking. Whether right. it's a resume that says I want to intern for your company and it's written on like red paper, I'm like, wow, that's sort of interesting.
You only have a couple of seconds to get your first impression, and once it's gone, it's gone. Yeah. I remember my story about what got me was, remember when they used to have those little business card shaped CDs?
Yes.
I got a business card that had files on it, and I thought that was the coolest thing because it was really well done. It was a printed little CD, and that one was my favorite.
I did a double-sided card when that was unheard of, a double-sided card, because they said, oh, you couldn't do that.
Uh-huh.
I did a laminated card. I had done, like, some fancy silver cards, you know, that had all types of funny things. I remember recently going to meet with a bunch of millionaire millennials that were probably five of them, and the oldest was 24. She was the CEO, and her title was, let's say, Jane Doak space CEO, founder, and stiff lord. And so I remember a friend of mine who's older than me saying, what, stiff lord, like as in Star Wars? I go, yep. I go, it caught your attention, didn't it? And he went, yeah, man, stiff lord. But what is she trying to say? I go, who cares? She's trying to tell you that, you know, she could be your daughter at this age, that she's a young kid, and that she's not going to put like some boring title. She wants to put something trendy and young, you know? So that's immediately stood out to me.
Absolutely. It's good marketing. It makes you forget. Keeps you from forgetting her.
It is.
That's really funny. That's funny. Well, believe it or not, we're out of time for this section now. We're going to take a break, and we will be back right after this.
It's a Crazy World with Cynthia McIntosh. We'll be right back after this.
Hello, everyone. This is DJ Daniel. Do you need a little pick-me-up to get you to the end of your workday or to help you get ready for work? Then I invite you to tune in to Independent Corner on Indie 104. I give you 3 hours of the best up-and-coming independent artists and bands from the U.S. around the world, and from your hometown.
Hey there, everyone. This is Marija of Shadows Talk from Calgary, Alberta, Canada.
Hello, everyone. This is Morgan from Ravensheart in the UK.
Hey, everyone. This is Michaela from Mount Pleasant, South Carolina.
So tune in to Independent Corner with me, DJ Daniel, every Monday at 4 p.m. Eastern, 1 p.m. Pacific, only on Indie 104, iRadio LA.
If you could wave a magic wand and make your life exactly what you want it to be, what would your life look like 6 months from now? If you could have your dream life, what would that mean to you? Hi, my name is Cynthia McIntosh, success coach to performing artists. My passion is to help artists answer these questions, create visions, and make their visions a reality. If you want to take your career to the next level, give us a call, 866-636-4696, and be sure to tune in to It's a Crazy World here on Indie 104, Tuesday evenings.
The Internet. The new landscape continues to grow, but bad behavior in the world of social media hurts more than you think. Young people affected by online bullying and social isolation often get poor grades, have low self-esteem, skip school, and in some cases are depressed, violent, and even commit suicide. Well, Beyond Differences and I Keep Safe are changing that, providing tools like 10 deep breaths to help teens manage both on land and online. Take anger down a notch and take kindness up. Beyond Differences is a peer-led group dedicated to ending social isolation, offering tools to build healthy relationships online. Learn more at beyonddifferences.org and join others in taking the pledge at wearekindonline.com.
We're back with more It's a Crazy World with Cynthia McIntosh.
Thanks for listening to the show. Today we are talking to Brian Giacoma, and during the break he was talking to me about how he kind of stole that idea from the business card that he was just telling us about in the previous section. So I asked him to share that story with you because it's really interesting, kind of fun.
Oh, yeah. Well, I have to admit that I was so taken back by that stiff Lord man, you know, so that I sort of changed that for myself. And I said, like, I had a girlfriend at the time that used to say, look, I don't mind you going out and coming home at like the middle of the night, you know, smelling like cigarettes at the time. People were outside smoking and I'm talking to experts, listening to music and, you know, pulling out earplugs because the music was insanely loud at some of these events. But I was meeting a lot of young talent that I wanted to help cultivate. And she said to me, yeah, it's nice that you're helping them, but, you know, like, do you think that maybe you could at least, you know, we can get out of this small apartment at the time? And I said, well, you know, I like what I'm doing. And she says, yeah, but if you're going to be using all these connections you have and sending them demos and most of them are not great, you should at least compensate them for their time. So I remember taking that card and changing it and adding the word after founder and CEO of my new company, I put master of connections. And I thought that that is sort of a way that could sort of tell the story of what we do. Like, because she said, I'm not even sure, like, to tell my friends what you actually do. I'm like, well, I connect talent with people in the music industry. We get their music placed in movies and video games and jingles and, you know, and occasionally an elusive record deal. And she said, oh, that's so cool. So you're like a master of connections. I'm like, yeah, there you go. So I sort of took that stiff board and my girlfriend's idea and sort of put that on the card, you know.
So that was your aha moment.
Yeah, it was my aha moment. And you had asked me at one time during the break, you had said something about, you know, what is one of the most frequently asked questions that I get? And I'm sure you have a slightly different question, probably like, well, what do I do to become a great person? And well, it's gonna sit on the couch, it's going to take a few sessions, you know. But for me, I said, you know, like, what the number one frequently asked question or FAQ on the website is, you know, why would I pay you to listen to my music? And
Right. And listen,
I can understand that question. And if you see a website that charges $300, run for the hills. At the time, this person that I was working with was a model, and he had done some modeling. You know, he was one of my interns at the time, and he had said that, you know, obviously he was compensated for taking pictures. And I said, well, you're right, you know. And I said, well, they would pay you. He goes, well, yeah. Well, would you want somebody to do your dental work for free? I mean, would you trust that person? Say, yeah, come on in my chair. I'm not going to charge you. I'll do it for free. Like, you wouldn't understand that. But the simplest way to explain it to artists is that these men and women that work for me, or that work with me rather, they work for major companies, they're the platinum producers that we have on the site. Man, they get thousands of submissions a day. And not only that, but you say, like, why would they listen to yours? Oh, my, I'm the best. I'm the new greatest thing out. Okay, great. But everyone says that. Number one, and they get paid. This is their job. You know, like, you know, maybe they do music because they love it, obviously, and it's a passion, but they have bills to pay. So if they're going to stop their recording session in their multi-platinum, multi-million-dollar studio to listen to an unknown artist without music or lyrics or beats from somebody who is already established, which 99% of the people listening are in that category, you have to understand that if you think you're the greatest, and you may be, They don't know that. All they hear is everybody's the greatest and everybody's going to be the next big thing. So you have to compensate them for their time. The one thing that we have that's a huge advantage over other sites is that Talent Army Music charges the absolute minimum. Like, I ask these people who are all my friends and I've or working with us currently on other projects. I said, listen, if I was going to send you a song to listen to and to write a critique, which, by the way, no one does, to write a quick critique about that song, what would be the minimum you would accept? And I was very, very surprised. The guys that make $1,000 an hour in their studio or to play bass for major acts, they said, man, I don't know. I'd do it. I would do it for whatever, you know, for lunch. I'm like 25, 30 bucks. They go, yeah, I mean, that's sort of lunch in New York these days. I would do it. I listened to it over a cup of coffee and a sandwich. And I was shocked. I'm like, are you kidding me? And I built this site around those experts that, although they make a lot more money in the real world, are willing to help young talent for an absolute pennies on the dollar price, with the intention of, okay, I'm going to take my time and do this. Granted, my time is money, but I may find the next great act. And so that is why our site is so successful. We just took the simple formula of connecting aspiring talent to executives that still are humble enough to know that it's time to give a break to the young talent, as we all were at one point in our lives.
Right. And actually, a lot of the artists that I work with and have worked with in the past that have really achieved success and they managed to get where they wanted to get have gotten to the point where they really enjoy working with young upcoming talent and helping them and teaching them. In fact, a lot of the people that I talk to on the show that are really successful will come out at the end of the show and say that one of their goals is to start a school to help young kids that want to get started in the music industry, because they understand what it takes and that it's getting more and more competitive and it's harder, and they do have a passion for helping young people.
And if, and to your point, you know, you look at things like these Sound Academy and School of Rock, and now musicals are no longer just about fictional characters. You've got Jersey Boys, you've got the new Broadway play that's, I mean, obviously you had the Beatles anthology and that stuff, you know, years ago, but now you have Carly Simon's new show, and you have all these people who have made it in the industry now. And I know that for a fact that Bruce Springsteen has been approached, as well as Elton John, many times to do musicals for Broadway, because, you know, musical music about people who have come from nothing and made a career, those are such amazing stories.
Right.
That sometimes the music itself can't tell the appropriate story. It needs to be a film, or it needs to be a major Broadway play. So it's obviously, you know, music touches everybody's life. And
right. And it's inspirational for a lot of people.
You and I are very fortunate that, you know, we have made it in the music industry, and, you know, it's our passion now is really to help pay it forward. And to, you know, I know that if it, you know, my example of success was very, you know, it's one in a million. I mean, the chances of those guys at that studio letting this dirty faced kid from the streets of New York actually sweep their set, and not only laugh at me, but then giving me the opportunity to come back for the next video, which was a group called Simple Minds that has a song called Alive and Kicking. And if you ever go and see that Simple Minds video, which is from the 80s, I guess, at this time, and I was just a little kid, and I remember seeing a giant lake around the band, and I'm saying, well, we didn't shoot at a lake. And that was one of the first primitive special effects in the music video. Huh. So these things, like, I was very fortunate, but, you know, success is out there. I mean, you know, I know you've heard that from motivational speakers, but it's the truth. I mean, success is out there. You have to obviously have the passion and you have to have the talent, but you also need to have the connections, or at least, you know, a conduit to get you there. And you do that for artists, and our website, Town Army Music, does that for people as well. So
right. Yeah, you do have some other passions that you work on as well. Would you like to share about those?
Yeah, I mean, it may be boring to some. You know, I feel that giving back is really an important thing. I mean, you know, when we're all, you know, on to the next life, or we've all passed away, you need to think about the way you've left the world, whether you've planted a tree or whether you've inspired someone, you know, whether you have children. And for me, you know, I always thought that it was very important to be a good charitable person. And I always thought you had to be incredibly rich to give to charity. You don't. I mean, you can literally give $5 a month to a charity and know that you're feeding a kid,
right,
or that you're you know, teaching a kid about art or about music. And I think that the reason that we basically forego any profit on our side, I mean, we're not a nonprofit, but whatever we make from our slight percentage, you know, I give 90% or 80% to the expert that does the music reviews for us, because it's their time. They're really the ones that are listening and writing, and they're in the studio doing their work. And I, whatever we keep for the website, as they say, just keeps the lights on, you know, keeps the lawyers paid, keeps the website going and the host going. So that's sort of like a slight charity to me. But my real passion in terms of a 501c3 is I give to a company, I give to an organization called New York Collaborates for Autism, which is NYC, the number 4, and then A for autism, NYC4A.org. And that is an organization that helps autistic children and autistic people. You know, autism used to be confused with mental retardation, and it affects 1 in 42 boys and 1 in 68 people overall. So it affects more people than all cancers, childhood cancers combined. So
Wow. It's
a pretty devastating illness and affliction, but there's progress that can be made with the right funding. So that is my side project, and I get great pleasure being able to help people like that.
Oh, wonderful. What do you see as your vision for the future? What are you working towards? What are you hoping for down the road?
You know, I'd like to see, you know, now that Talent Army Music is growing and we're able to be able to boast almost on a weekly basis of some type of song placement, whether or record deal or paid gig or even studio work. I mean, if we can help the careers and the lifestyles of up-and-coming artists, that to me is very fulfilling. But we're going to launch additional verticals to Talent Army, the brand. So Talent Army Music was our first vertical. We're going to do Talent Army Writers, Talent Army Comedy, Talent Army Dance, where we can start helping dancers in that vertical and comedians and writers. Because I was amazed when we launched, people would say, hey, I wrote this amazing song. Can I put it through your site? And we can do that. But if someone wrote like an amazing, you know, film, we can connect them to people we know in Hollywood who are in the film industry or in Canada or New York or Georgia or wherever movies are shooting. You know, we've got connections there too, and they're always looking for good material. So
exciting.
I mean, there's certainly a need for talent, whether it's writing talent, dancing talent, comedic talent, or obviously music talent. The big puzzle is, how do these young artists reach the right people?
Right.
So we have all those connections, you know. It used to be a giant iron door. Well, think of it this way. We've got the keys to those doors.
Right. So if an artist wants to find you, where are they going to go?
Well, they can go to talentarmymusic.com, which is our music website. And if they have additional passions and projects that they're working on that are not related to music, they can reach us, or you can reach me at Brian, B-R-I-A-N, at talentarmymusic.com. And I try to answer every single one of my own emails. I mean, I remember Jay-Z at one point saying that he could, his great-grandchildren never have to work, but he still listens to as much music as he can, because you never know when you're going to find the next diamond in the rough out there. So I try to listen to as much stuff, and I try to respond personally to every email that I get. It may take a little while, but I will certainly get back to anyone who reaches out to us.
And I know that is one thing you told me also, is that when people go to your website, to talentarmymusic.com, and they send in music to be reviewed, they do get a response.
Oh, absolutely. I'm glad you pointed that out. I thought I had mentioned that. The biggest complaint I heard from artists when I asked them, what is your biggest complaint from the other copycat sites out there? And I don't mean that in a derogatory way. I mean, I think competition is good, but they have copied our idea. And I say, well, they would say to me, well, I don't know. I don't even know if they're really just taking my money. Like, I don't get anything in return. So I said, ah, light bulb moment. I told my experts, I know it's going to take you a few more minutes besides just listening. Can you write an actual feedback? And I was very surprised. Almost everyone to a person said, oh, absolutely. It's my passion. So they, and the reviews are just, they just keep flowing with ideas, and I would change the bridge, and I would, oh, the levels are beautiful. The mic needs to be cleaned, or the things that I, you know, as a layman on a business end, wouldn't really think of it. But from a technical standpoint, from a songwriter standpoint, from a, you know, a platinum producer standpoint, you're going to get feedback directly from the source. So, that's sort of like priceless feedback from a young artist. And you know, you talk about $25 a review is like unheard of, you know?
Right.
So.
And if you could access those people personally, they would not do that for you for $25. If you got a consultation with them to have them sit and listen to your music and tell you
thousands of dollars.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, literally.
Well, thank you again so much for being on the show. And again, folks, you can find Brian Jacoma at talentarmymusic.com. Be sure to check him out. There's a lot of information on there. There are a lot of wonderful artists on there. And you can't access these people easily. And this is a way of having access to people that very few have. And they will get back to you and let you know how they can help you. So it's an invaluable tool. I would not just let that slide. So be sure to check him out. Thanks again, Brian, for being on the show. We look forward to it. We're going to have you on the show again, for sure. We've got a lot to talk about.
It was a lot of fun. It was a lot of fun. It's nice to have an upbeat interview with lots of passion. And I urge people to check out what you do, too. I was very impressed with your site and the kind of things you do to help people as well.
Oh, well, thank you. Thank you very much. Thanks again. And thank you, folks, for listening. Be sure to tune in to the It's a Crazy World show again next week. Tuesday evening, 7 p.m., right here on Indie 104.